Okay, good evening, this is Rabbi Krona. Good vach to everyone. Tonight we are going to discuss the tefillah of halal. Last class we discussed musaf, so tonight we're going to discuss the halal. And as you know, we say halal both on Yom Tov and on Rosh Chodesh. Now it is one of the seven mitzvos midrabanan to say halal on Yom Tov. You may be aware, of course, you all know that there's 613 mitzvos in the Torah. There are seven mitzvos midrabanan. Now, that may be a surprise to some of you. We know that there's tons and tons of mitzvos midrabanan, but full-fledged mitzvos midrabanan that do not have a basis in the Torah, that we have seven of. And halal, saying halal on Yom Tov, is one of those seven mitzvos midrabanan. There's actually a nice gematria to that. With the 613 mitzvos of the Torah and the seven mitzvos midrabanan, that equals 620. And keser, which means a crown, is the gematria 620. So the 620 mitzvos makes up the keser Torah, the crown of the Torah. Keser is the chof, the saf, and the resh, equals 620. So those seven mitzvos midrabanan, such as hadlakas neiros on Friday night, and megillah, Chanukah, halal is one of them, netilas yadayim, Ervin, brachos, except for brachos hamazon, the regular brachos, those are the seven mitzvos midrabanan. That which we say halal on Rosh Chodesh is not a full-fledged mitzvah midrabanan, that is only a minhag. That's a custom. Now, both this full-fledged mitzvah on Yom Tov and this custom of saying halal on Rosh Chodesh comes at a set time. It's a zman grama. So therefore, nashim, women, are technically not obligated, they're not chayiv, to say halal on Yom Tov, nor are they chayiv, nor are they obligated to say halal on Rosh Chodesh. However, this minug of saying halal on Rosh Chodesh and even the full-fledged mitzvah of on Yom Tov, it's basically become accepted, it's become a minug that women do say halal on Yom Tov and on Rosh Chodesh. It's not a complete obligation, but it is accepted that they do try to find time to say halal on Rosh Chodesh and on Yom Tov. There's a machlokas actually by Chanukah. Perhaps by Chanukah they are obligated, since we have Afin Hayubosa Anes. They are also included in the miracle. Therefore, they are obligated in the Chanukah Neros. Perhaps they could fulfill their mitzvah with their husbands or their fathers. But women are obligated in the Hadlakas Neros of Chanukah. So therefore, perhaps maybe they're obligated in Halal on Chanukah, but on any other Yom Tov and on Rosh Chodesh, they are not obligated, but there is a minhag for women to try to say halal, and different places can discuss how strict is it for women to make sure to say this. Definitely women are allowed to volunteer to say the halal. We paskin that we make a bracha on halal, even on Rosh Chodesh. And this is a discussion for men as well, since it's only a custom, but definitely we paskin, the Ashkenazim at least, we paskin that that they can make a bracha on the halal of Rosh Chodesh. And the custom is for women, for Ashkenazim at least, that women also make their bracha, they make a bracha, Asher Kachar B'Mitzvoyso L'Krayas HaHalal, when they say halal on Rosh Chodesh. The zman of halal, the time of saying halal, is the entire day. That's explicit in the Mishnah, in Megillah, that a person can say halal the entire day. It doesn't have to be before 4 hours of the day or something like that. That can be said the entire day. However, if somebody is going to say halal immediately following Shmona Esrei, then the halach is that a person should really not talk between Shmona Esrei and halal. If they're saying it at some point later in the day, then of course they would be talking before. But if they are saying it immediately following Shmona Esrei, a person should go immediately from Shmona Esrei into halal. As you are all aware, when we say halal on Rosh Chodesh, we skip certain parts of halal. It's called a chatzi halal, which means a half of a halal. It's really not really half, it's more like 85%, but we skip parts of the halal. The reason why we skip parts of halal on Rosh Chodesh is because really Rosh Chodesh is not a full Yom Tov. On Yom Tov you're not allowed to do malacha. Rosh Chodesh we are allowed to do malacha, but that's why there isn't a full mitzvah of halal on Rosh Chodesh, because it's not a full Yom Tov. So to make note of that, that it's not a full halal, just like on Yom Tov, so we choose to skip parts of halal, and there's discussions why we specifically choose to skip those parts of halal. If you look at it, you'll notice that the two paragraphs that we skip, they're very similar to the paragraphs preceding it. It's really all in one capital of Tehillim, those parts that we skip. We say it's part of Kuf Tes Vav and Kuf Tes Zayin, but it's similar, so since it's similar, we skip part of it, but we purposely leave out some of the psukim to show that this day of Rosh Chodesh is not a full-fledged yontif like a regular day of yontif that we say Hallel on. If a person is pressed for time, which can definitely happen by women, but if a person is pressed for time and they only have an option of saying either davening either Musaf or Hallel, so as you could imagine, based on what we're saying tonight and based on what we said in the last class as far as Musaf is concerned, if a woman or a man, but if a woman needs to choose and say only one of them, then it's better to say Musaf as opposed to Hallel. Since we discussed last time that there are opinions that women are obligated to daven Musaf, so we said in the Mishnah Berurah brought from the Magen Geburim, and he seemed to favor that opinion, so there are opinions that women are obligated to daven Musaf. As we've been saying now, women are definitely not obligated to say Hallel. It's accepted that they try to say Hallel as much as they can, but it's definitely not that they're obligated since it comes at a Zman Grama. And therefore, if someone has the option of only doing one of them, a person should, at least for women, a woman should choose Musaf and not Hallel. Definitely the best will be able to say both, but a person only has one, then they say Musaf. As far as Rosh Chodesh benching, which we say the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh, which, Bez Hashem, this coming Shabbos, we'll have Rosh Chodesh benching. So I saw in the Sefer Halichas Beisa that women are probably not obligated midina, they're not really obligated to say this, because they have not accepted it upon themselves to be obligated to say it, similar to what we had by Ma'ariv. We discussed that women did not accept it, so therefore they're not obligated, but the minig is for women to try to, whether it's in shul or whether it's at home, to try to say the Rosh Chodesh benching. It is rachami, it is asking for mercy to have a good month, and therefore it's nice to try to be able to say it. But as far as obligated is concerned, definitely women are not obligated to say Rosh Chodesh benching on the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh. In the beginning of Hallel, there is a pasuk right in the beginning of Hallel that says, Rama kol goyim Hashem, Hashem is lofty amongst all the nations. And then a couple of psukim later, we say that Hamashpili lirois b'shamayim uva'aretz, that Hashem lowers himself to all the way down to the ground. So there was somebody by the name of Reb Chaim Brim, a tremendous tzaddik who lived in Yerushalayim. He was nifter about 15 years ago, and he said a very nice pshat. He said, Rama kol goyim Hashem, Hashem is lofty amongst the nations. That a lot of nations out there, they believe that Hashem is very, very lofty, and he doesn't concern himself with mundane matters and every little thing that happens to a person that, you know, he gives over maybe to other gods, or he doesn't busy himself with. But we know the truth is that Hamashpili lirois b'shamayim uva'aretz, that Hashem lowers himself down to the ground and takes care of every little iota that happens on this world. And the Vilna Gaon says that we say in Asher Yatzar, it is revealed and known to you in front of your kisei hakavod that if we wouldn't be able to use the bathroom, that our body wouldn't be able to function. And the question is, why do we refer to the kisei hakavod? The kisei hakavod, the Hashem's throne of glory, is usually looked at as the highest level of kedusha. Why are we mentioning that when we're thanking Hashem for being able to use the bathroom? And the Vilna Gaon in Brachas Daf Samach, he says the same idea, that the other nations, he says, this has come to the exclusion of other nations, that they feel that Hashem doesn't, or their God, even if they believe in God, that he doesn't busy himself with such mundane matters. But we know that that's not the truth. Even such as going to the bathroom, even regular mundane matters, little things that happen day in and day out, we know that Hashem takes care of that. And that's what we call Hashkacha Pratis. Hashem takes care of us. The Gemara even says that if a person sticks his hand in his pocket and wants to take out 3 coins, and by mistake he only takes out 2, that is from Hashem. That's decreed upon by Hashem. Maybe that'll be a kapar, it's a little bit of a punishment for something. Every little thing comes from Hashem. I was talking once to a lady, and she said that her husband has a type of job that he doesn't have a set income, and she said that it's the type of job that he gets jobs here and there, and she said that, you know, you really have to rely on God when it comes to my husband's job. It's really not good. And, you know, I wasn't going to correct her, but first of all, that is very good, you know, that you always have to rely on Hashem. But even somebody who thinks they have a set income, you always have to rely on Hashem. If a person thinks they have everything etched in stone and everything is set, and all of a sudden things happen, everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I have an uncle, he's a big tzaddik, his name is Rav Kalman Kron, my father's brother, he lives in Lakewood. And he had a little bit of a game with his children, not a game, but he said if his children came home and they said one hashgacha pratis that happened to them that day, they get a little prize. If I remember correctly, the prize was a pickle. But he said, you have to find something hashgacha pratis. You were looking for somebody and you couldn't get through to them, and then boom, you bump into them into the store, by the store, or you bump into them in shul. Every little thing that happens, people could overlook, and you don't even realize. I even tried to do that for a couple of weeks. I tried to write down one hashgacha pratis that happened to me every day. After a couple of weeks, it stopped. But if you open your eyes, a person will see that every Hashem is watching a person every single moment. And if you think about it, this is really very, it's very reassuring. You know, there's someone, Rabbi David Olofsky, who's a big famous speaker. He lives in Harnof now, but he's originally from New York. He told me, I heard once on a shir that he was giving over. He said that an atheist one time told him that, you know, he said that I'm very lucky. I believe that there's no God and I'm free. I feel like no one's in charge of the world and I could do whatever I want. And Rabbi Olofsky told him, what do you mean? Just the opposite. He says, according to you, the world is just pandemonium. Everything is coincidence, like Amalek believes. Everything is coincidence. It's very scary to live in a world like that, that you believe that everything just happens by chance. He says, we have a God. We realize that everything is under control. You know, you come to a situation, you know everything's under control. That's a very reassuring feeling. Everything that happens, whether it's good, whether it's bad, you know that there's a master plan, and you know that everything is from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And yeah, sometimes we get down about things that happen, and that's something we all have to work on, but we know that there's hashgacha pratis and everything is under control. Rabbi Chaim Kanevsky was talking about when, you know, people living in Eretz Yisrael in the times of the Intifada and danger. He says, as long as the person doesn't purposely put themselves in a makam sakana, this is not a makam sakana, and you have nothing to worry about as far as being somewhere, oh, maybe if I would have done this, then this would have happened. As long as anyone doesn't do something negligent or pshia, someone doesn't jump off a building or take a hammer and bang themselves over the head on purpose, everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every little step of the way. And that's a very reassuring thing to know, that everything that happens, we are watched over, whether it's for the good or whether it's for the bad. We shouldn't take credit for our own milas, but a person can't be worried about things that happen because we know that we are totally in control. We are controlled by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we could go confidently throughout our day. Okay, everybody should have a good vach.